Inspector Songbrook, it's on the 25, number 25, Brother Tim Carter. Have our singing just in a moment. Our numbers are down. We do have Mary, she's here visiting with us, so we would like to welcome her and let her know that we're glad she's here with us. Members on the sick list, remember Dave on Thursday's going to see the urologist. Then, of course, Kevin and Samantha, we want to remember them as well, as they're expecting their first little one, so we want to keep them in our prayers. Courtney and them's out of town, the Wigginton, we also will still have them out of town. Wednesday invitation will be by Brother TJ. Then we'll meet again Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. here at this place. We will be back next Lord's Day morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, of course, 10 a.m. for worship service. Opening prayer will be by Brother Dave Dickerson. Mark Casey will head the table for any of those that didn't have an opportunity to pray the Lord's Supper this morning. Of course, Brother Tim has the singing. Chuck will be bringing us our lesson. I'd like to ask James, would you do a closing prayer, please? We also want to remember a building, the work, you know, for a building and stuff. I believe Tim and Chuck have some meetings this week as far as that goes. And, you know, keep that in our prayers, you know, so this will continue and do better for the work here in this community. Martin Evans has bulletins. There's several on the table back there, so we'll get with him to make sure our list is correct and all that. Romans, it's on the website. It's in PDF files, so we're able to print them off, so get them as well. And this is Mackenzie's last day. She's going to be leaving, so be sure and tell Mackenzie goodbye at the end of worship service. That's all I have at this time. If there's anything that I failed to mention, please bring it up at the close of service.
Psalm number 25, All Things Praise. Sing all three verses.
All things praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven, earth, and sea, and sky. All were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed. Should all worship bring to thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, night to night, sings in silent hymns of life. All things praise thee day by day, chants thy power in burning rain. Time and space are praising thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, heaven's high shrine, rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest bliss to be, ever praising, Lord, may we.
Next song, number 440. My Jesus, I love thee. After we sing all three verses, we'll be led in our opening prayer. Number 440.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever past is now.
That'll be led in our opening word prayer.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this privilege that we had in gathering the second time this Lord's Day to worship Thee and to sing songs of praises unto Thee and to study another portion of Thy Word. We thank Thee, dear Father, for most especially for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who loved us so much He was willing to come upon this earth and give His life for in order that we may have life. We're thankful, dear Father, for His great love that He had for us, and such pain and suffering that He was willing to bear upon that cruel cross of Calvary in our behalf, and through His shed blood, dear Father, gives us redemption of sin. And through His death and resurrection, gives us hope of having everlasting eternal life with Thee someday, if we've been found faithful. Pray for those, dear Father, that are not with us here at this time. The ones that are traveling, we pray that they have a safe journey to where they're going, and that they might be able to be with us at the point of time. Pray, dear Father, for the leaders of this country, that they will get back to how it used to be, and that is to look to Your Word for their guidance. We thank You, dear Father, for the elders in this congregation and for their guidance to us and for better equipping us for the work of the church. We pray, dear Father, that they will continue to make those decisions that will help strengthen each and every one of us. And we can grow in Your love, dear Father. We pray that we will always continue to keep Thee first in our hearts, to love You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and to love one another as we do ourselves. Be with us now in our study here this evening. We pray that we will glean from it the truth You'd have us to know, would become better and stronger Christians for Thee, and to never be ashamed of the gospel, dear Father, but to stand up for it and to share the good news throughout this community, out here in this world of darkness. We pray that Your light will so shine that others will see You through us. We pray that we'll always have a ready answer, dear Father, for those that are asking us of the hope that is within us. Forgive us, dear Father, when we have sinned and fallen short. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Does anyone present did not have an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this morning and let you know? If not, let's turn to Psalm number 365. Jesus, lover of my soul. If it's convenient for you, please stand. We'll sing all four verses of this, and then Chuck will bring us the lesson. 365.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to Thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, Lord, more than sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all in righteousness. Vile and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. Lent is grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sins. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
Be seated. Part 369 is invitation 369.
It's good to see everybody out tonight. I encourage you to take hold of your Bibles as we study tonight a subject that I announced this morning. Question basically being, why can't I speak in tongues? It's a good question for us to consider. Over lunch today, we were talking with Lois, Janet, and Becky, the mom of Katarina that's going to be coming to school in this area, had experienced visiting around in different Pentecostal groups. So the subject of speaking in tongues actually did come up. But you know, I had a friend of mine who was also looking for the truth, who is now continuing. He preaches and has been doing so. We went to classes together back in 1980. I remember Tom sharing with me how that they tried, when he went to a Pentecostal group, they tried to teach him how to speak in tongues and learn. And so we're going to be talking about this because, you know, there'll be people who wonder maybe why you don't, why we don't. And they might even ask why they can't, and they're trying to, and it's good to have an answer to help them and point them in the right direction rather than just saying that's foolishness. It's not a good thing to do. We just want to answer Bible questions with a Bible answer. You know, if somebody were to come up to me and say, how come I can't speak in tongues, Chuck? That's really the kind of approach I'll take tonight. I would just take a fictitious person just asking me that question. I might start off by just simply asking them, well, who said you had to speak in tongues? I try to get to the source of that. Where did this come from? And if they say, well, you know, this people over here where I've been going, they tell me, well, right there, that ought to raise a red flag. When somebody has expectations out of you, but God doesn't. And sometimes man will put those kind of expectations on us. That's a good lesson for all of us. We should never really go beyond the Word of God and expect people to live up to our standards. It's up to the Lord's standards. I might ask them right off the bat, if they're going to ask, why can't I speak in tongues? I might ask them, well, why do you want to? Now, there's a good question. Why do you want to speak in tongues? And do you think you have to? And that might relate to the first one. And I might ask this one, and I have asked this in the past, and that is simply this. Do you know anyone that does? Do you? You know, who's that? And you know, get them to think about it. You know, get their mind going and just analyze it. Because there are a lot of times when people will make inquiries of certain things and they really haven't thought it through. And I'm really trying to get people to think it through as in, do you really want an answer? Do you ever have anybody ask you a Bible question? They've got their mind made up, or they want a quick answer. Sometimes there isn't a quick answer. Sometimes it might be yes or no, but that's not sufficient because you need to explain it. So that they know that just didn't come from you. And so if you want to know why you can't speak in tongues, I'll say, well, okay, let's look at this. And so let's open up our Bibles as we go through a bunch of fundamentals. We got a book, I wouldn't call this a nine-point sermon. These 9 points are actually rather quick. But we're just going to notice some general facts that we want people to understand when it comes to tongue speaking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's a good place for us, and if you want to learn a lot about speaking in tongues, you go to chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. And first thing that we want people to understand, that if you're going to talk about speaking in tongues from a biblical standpoint, that it's a spiritual gift. a spiritual gift. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Wow, isn't that a great place to start off with somebody? I mean, if they want to know about speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts, say, look, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. Matter of fact, I really want you to be informed. And the more informed you are, the better it's going to be on any subject. It's amazing how many people out there that go to places and they are uninformed about what their religious group even teaches. You ever been in a Bible class? I've had many times where they go, oh, I didn't even know we believed that. I mean, that's kind of surprising, right, when somebody would say, I didn't even know that we believed that. Well, first of all, I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about you. But yeah, they're just like, wow, and I guess that's what I believe, if that's what they teach. And that's kind of a sad commentary. Now, move down to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And we're going to be looking at all these. Now look at verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now right off the bat, guys, you're already putting together that these are spiritual gifts. Don't confuse this word of knowledge with what you and I have. You have knowledge, don't you? You've studied a lot. Some might know more than others. But this is a spiritual gift. This isn't something that they learned on their own. It was given to them, all right? Went on after that and said, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All right, right there we're learning some things about the fact that it's a spiritual gift. There were a number of them listed. There was 9 of them listed there. The Spirit gives it, and we'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Go back to Acts chapter 2, because we're going to talk about spiritual gifts and the speaking of tongues. You know, if I got up here, folks, and I said to you all, Niha, some of you might know what that means, some of you might not know what that means. But a Chinese hello, I could have said bonjour. Now, it's a very poor rendition of French because I never liked it. But we were forced it in Canada. You were forced to learn French from kindergarten to grade 6. But anyway, that pet peeve's out of the way. But the fact that if I used a different language up here, Chuck was speaking in tongues. No, I was taught that. You see, when we're talking about speaking in tongues, we're talking about things that you have not been taught. And that it was a language. I didn't get up here and I won't try to imitate my friend. My friend actually told me what they taught him to learn to speak in tongues. I won't tell you I'll tell you privately. It was kind of embarrassing. I'm not going to do it. But he actually started doing it. He was imitating to me how they tried to get him to utter certain sounds and then just let it roll. It was kind of humorous to me, but they were teaching them how to speak in tongues. But folks, that was a gibberish. It wasn't a language, okay? And that's important. We learned that over here in Acts, the second chapter. We pick it up in verse 4, and as we learn about the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we move down in our text to verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? What's the big deal? Well, look at verse 8. How is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? And we stress that. It's a language. Now, there have been some of the Pentecostal friends who talk about, well, you know, in deep Africa and some of the tribes and some of the languages out there, I'm sure it's a language. Well, how are you going to prove that? And I grant the fact that there's a lot of strange languages out there. I think if you guys will remember from a long time ago that I told you about when I went to, in Canada, some of our Zimbabwe brethren, somebody passed away and went to a Zimbabwe funeral. But there was a conversation being taken, and they were talking in Zimbabwe language. Now, I'm only going to do this very short. I'm not going to carry it on because it sounds humorous, but folks, this is a language. This is a language. That is a language. if you put your tongue in different places and you open your mouth wider or smaller, it makes different tones. And you go, what are you doing? They're having a conversation. That's a language, folks. And so when these people start doing gibberish, if they say, well, that's very similar to this tribe, it might be similar because you could hit on something on this planet. But it wasn't fluent. Somebody might listen to that and say, well, I detected the word the. in that Zimbabwe language, you may have heard of the. It wasn't a sentence. You can make heads or tails out of that. And so it's imperative that when somebody says, why can't I speak in tongues? Well, first of all, you need to understand that it is a language, okay? And it's something that you haven't learned. And the fact is, when we go back to the 12th chapter, when somebody says, how come I can't speak in tongues? You say, well, first of all, not everybody spoke in tongues. Now, that's why Paul had to write it. Paul had to actually address the subject because some of the brethren there didn't speak in tongues and they wanted to speak in tongues. So let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 11, where I left off after he described all these different spiritual gifts. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We move down to verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gift of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. See the Corinthian brethren, you can see that. Well, does everybody speak in tongues? No. That's the point. And so you're sitting there saying, how come I can't speak in tongues? Well, in the first century, not everybody did. Not everybody had the gift of healing. Not everybody had the gift of interpretation. That's just the way it was back then. All right? Now, we're going to talk more. You guys know what I'm going to explain about this. Most of you here could teach this to somebody. You know it. But it's good to have a reminder, a refresher lesson from time to time on this. And so here it is. Not everybody received the same gifts. How'd they get them? Our Romans classes. If I told you, every once in a while during our Romans class, I said, well, I'm going to talk about that this evening. Well, here's one of them. Remember Paul said he wanted to come to Corinth? He wanted to come to Rome and impart a spiritual gift to them? We talked about that this morning. Well, you guys got to go to Acts chapter 8 with me. Acts chapter 8. How come I can't speak in tongues? Well, I'll tell you, buddy. If you ask me that question, I'm going to tell you what. Do you know how you get them? I'll tell you how you get them. You're going to need an apostle. In verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, here's what we read. And when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Philip was performing miracles and signs. He was witnessing them. Simon was. And verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon also saw through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now we'll stop there. We're not here to talk about Simon and his problem. But we're noticing here, first of all, that there were miracles being performed by Philip. The apostles heard about this, and they send down some apostles. Well, don't worry about it. Philip will take care of it. Philip will go ahead and lay hands on him. Philip can't lay hands. Philip, not an apostle. But these men, these apostles came down, and they laid hands on them. And what did the sorcerer, what did Simon notice? Simon noticed through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, so he offered them money. He didn't offer Philip money. He didn't offer the other Christians money. He didn't offer them the money to the person who had the hands laid on them. Why, isn't that interesting? He put it together rather quickly through the laying on the apostles' hands. Now, I'm glad we spent some time this morning in our Bible study, because most of you were here, and those who weren't, you already know this. the qualifications to be an apostle. We talked about Paul. What qualified him to be an apostle? Because when you tell people this point, well, you need somebody to lay hands on you, and it has to be an apostle. They'll look at you and they'll go, so? What's the big deal? Well, that is a big deal. There are no apostles today, is the point. And the apostles are the only ones that can lay hands on you for you to receive the spiritual gift. And not only that, not everybody received speaking in tongues, that gift. So when you sit there and say, how come I can't speak in tongues? And not only that, now we're getting back to what's actually being taught in the world today, my friend, those sitting at the table at lunch today, and a lot of other people, is that they're being told that you need speaking. Here, go ahead. We will train you to speak in tongues, which is foreign to what we've read tonight. But I'm sitting there going, wait a second. You're having expectations, even if they were lawful, but you're trying to get all the members to speak in tongues, and that's not even what you read in the Bible. Now, some of you have not studied this subject, and I want to be clear, so I'm trying not to rush through this, because many of you that have heard this and you've studied it before, we have people here who have not studied it before. Being new converts and stuff, they just need to understand it. And so it's good to go through this logically and think it through, because people are going to say, well, you can do it. You're going to say, well, no. You will probably have more people say, I can speak in tongues, rather than ask you, how come I can't? So you're more likely to get people say, I speak in tongues. I know what you teach. And this, you can still follow this. You can still ask them certain things and point out, well, what's the Bible teach here? It was through the laying on of the apostles' hand. What are some other things that we need to understand fundamentally about the spiritual gifts? Well, speaking in tongues. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. All right, at this point, that speaking in tongues was a sign for the unbeliever. That's important. Because when somebody says, how come I can't speak in tongues? Why do you want to? Well, I really want to. That's what they kind of drill into my friend. Hey, you're Pentecostal, man. You got to learn to speak in tongues. Man, you're going to get an emotional high here, you're going to feel really good, you're going to be close to the Lord, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh man, I really want it. I really need this. Well, first of all, you need to understand that speaking in tongues wasn't for you in the first place. The speaking of tongues was for the unbeliever. How do I know that? Well, let's pick it up in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. How in malice be vain, but in understanding be mature. And the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. And he's going to come back and say, look, if you're going to desire any particular gift, you should desire prophecy. No, you're going to... You see, you understand, right, folks? The problem with the Corinthian brethren is what I'm describing to you. Their attitude was, I want to speak in tongues. So what's Paul have to do? He has to spend three chapters telling them, look, not everybody gets them. They're for the unbeliever. It's not the best gift. If you're going to rate them, he starts to, why are you considering speaking in tongues? There really isn't a rating system, but he's trying to let them understand that. Why are you saying that tongues is the best? Where's that coming from? And you need to understand that tongues are for the benefit of the unbeliever. If you want to be strengthened, there are other gifts that will strengthen you, that will help you, is the key in all of this. What was it, though? Guys, what was this speaking in tongues? In a moment, we're going to talk about the idea that you needed an interpreter. It's also in this chapter. But what was the speaking in tongues, though? The fact that you needed an interpreter tells you something. Look at verse 23, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Having read that, move down to verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. The whole point is, you don't have an interpreter there. An unbeliever is going to come in and go, what is that guy saying? Like if I, seriously folks, you know this, right? If we had some visitors come in, I didn't give you a heads up on this. Could you actually imagine that if we had a visitor walk in the door at the precise moment I spoke a little bit of that Zimbabwe language? Seriously, could you imagine what they thought? I mean, we're going. They probably walk in the door and go, and then they probably back off and go away. That really is really what you would have. You would have to be, what is going on here? But if you have an interpreter stand up, here's what he was saying. Now, what would he be saying? It would be a message from God. It's not you're going to gather together. Again, you're coming together as a church. You have the uninformed. It's a passage I turn to that it's good to invite people. You can have visitors in your congregation. You can have unbelievers there. And we need to be mindful of that. When I've preached on that particular point, be mindful of that. And I need to be mindful of that because if I'm going to preach on something, man, I can start throwing up words like reconciliation and talk about propitiation. You know, here's a guy that walks in, you know, a visitor. What's he talking about? You need to be able to explain that to them. So be mindful of your visitors. Okay, that's a sign for you. But you do understand that it was a message from God. And look at verse 28. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, this is what we were talking about over lunch today. And as my friend was explaining, they would often talk about how the idea is that they can't control it. If you ever talk with people who talk about speaking in tongues, it's uncontrollable. That's what they will say. And you're going to say, well, first of all, that is so foreign to the Word of God. Speaking in tongues in New Testament times, you could actually have that ability, but you could sit there and hold your tongue. If you knew that there was not an interpreter present, now, why would you hold your tongue? Because he already mentioned that in a previous passage. You get up. Well, and others get up at the same time, but other people are going to think you're mad. It's not being done decently in order, and I'm about to read those passages. But that's the whole point that we're noticing here within this. We should be able to control it. It's not out of control. You've seen it on TV. I have. These religious groups, and people start shaking. They fall on the ground. It's uncontrollable. The Holy Spirit got a hold of them. They can't control it. Folks, that is not what the Bible is talking about. It's as simple as that. People are wanting things that the Bible says you shouldn't even want. But they want them because the religious group teaches that you should want it. That there'd be something wrong with you if you don't. And for them, it's supposed to help their faith. Well, we have more to talk about that in just a few moments. Now, let's turn over to the 13th chapter. Turn back right. This is crucial. You know I had to bring this point up. How come I can't speak in tongues? Well, did you know they were temporary? Did you know they were temporary? They weren't to last throughout the ages. Verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. First of all, he lets them understand that love is more important. You forget love, you have nothing. And of course, that's the whole, well, the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You guys have been married? Ever get a guy get up and talk about love? What love is? Sometimes, most of the times, they'll do that in a wedding ceremony. But this really comes alive in its context. And so when he talks about, well, if I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. But it's verse 4. Love suffers long, it's kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, it's not puffed up, doesn't behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, guys, the context there is, brethren, love one another. Be kind towards one another. Don't be envious. Oh, you speak in tongues. You think you're better than me. No, I don't think I'm better. Well, see, they wanted it, though. You think you're better than me. I want to speak in tongues. So get envious. They have hate towards one another. They lack that love. And he puts it right here in the middle of this whole discussion of spiritual gifts. For what reason? It was tearing that church apart. A lot of problems at Corinth. A lot of problems. And here you think spiritual gifts are going to be a blessing. And the Spirit distributes them to different people. And so be thankful for it. But when we look at this, we understand that what God expects out of them is to have that compassion for one another, that love for each other, and to know this, that He says they will cease. When? When? Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. I'm in verse 8. Whether there be tongues, it will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. Knowledge is going to vanish away? He said, my word will never vanish, never be destroyed. It's that spiritual, folks. Look at verse 9. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. That perfect law of liberty. When you have that complete revelation, you have no need of those spiritual gifts anymore. And that makes perfect sense. Because you think of that, think about it for a moment. Most historians believe the last apostle to die was John. Okay? Most historians. And let's just say, you know, here's John, and we were talking about the church at Rome today, Paul writing the letter approximately 58 AD. I don't know how old John was when Jesus died and went back to heaven, the early church about 33 AD. I don't know what. Let's be generous. Let's say John lived to be 100. And so by that time period, you know, the New Testament books have been written. They've been guided to all truth. The last person that John laid hands on, that's what you have to think about. Let's just say he's 100 years old, and just before he dies, he lays hands on somebody, and they receive spiritual gifts. And let's say they live to be 100 years old, because we know they can't transfer. We know they can't. And so the chances of something being around at 200 AD, that's a stretch, that there'd be spiritual gifts existing then. But I'm only telling you that to provoke you to think about, you know what? Truth has been given. There was no need after that. We have the Word in its complete form. And the brethren there didn't need those spiritual gifts anymore. They had served their purpose. And of course, I mentioned this just a moment ago, and before I forget it, I'm going to jump ahead and mention it. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I like reading those verses that deal with what God expects out of man. When he says in verse 40, first of all, I like to read 33 and 40 together. 33 says, for God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And in verse 40, let all things be done decently in order. I'll tell you, this whole tongue-speaking business has created a lot of confusion. You know, if we had somebody here that says, no, Chuck, I really think I have the gift of speaking in tongues. I'm thinking, wait a second. With the passages that we read about tongue speaking, you're creating confusion. God is not the author of that. I know the confusion he was talking about here, too, is when you had two or three jump up together and they're not taking turns and everybody's talking at the same time. And especially if you don't have an interpreter present, God wants things to be done decently in order. Think about God in all this and what he's wanting them to do. That's the problem right there. Can't you really say that? The common denominator with false doctrine, where's God? Where's God? Where's his authorization for what you want to do? I know what you want to teach, but it's just not there. Okay, here we go. Chuck, how do you explain tongue speaking? How do you explain? I don't have to explain. They want me to explain it, but I don't have to explain it. Now, one of the things I did one time, I shared with you guys, it's been a long time ago since I preached on this, but I told you that I had some friends up in Canada, some close friends. Two of them spoke in tongues, and one was an interpreter. I got it back. And every time I tell this story, I get it wrong. One said they had the ability to speak in tongues, and two of them said they had the ability to interpret. So I asked them, I said, so, if I get Cheryl to speak in tongues, and you two write it down, then what you two write down will be the same.
They went,
yep. And so I said, well, can you do that? And they went, yep.
I found rather interesting.
But anyways, so she does her little bit.
I'm not going to imitate that.
So she does her little speaking in tongues bit. I give them both pen and paper, and they're both right now. And when they're done, can I have your papers?
Sure.
And I give them credit. They weren't afraid. And so I'm reading this, and I'm going this. I'm like, two different stories. They're not the same. How do you explain this? Their answer? I can't explain. Well, we ain't calling us anything there, just other than the fact they can't explain it. All right, so they can't explain it, and you want me to explain speaking in tongues today? I'll do my best, but I'm going to tell you some things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. Janet, Becky, this friend of mine, Cheryl, they're all women. Encouraged to speak in tongues in front of the crowd. Where's that come from?
That come from the Bible.
You see, you're asking me to, well, how do you explain it? Well, I can only tell you what the Bible has to say. No, it's not my job to explain everything that goes on. Honestly, guys, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. I can't explain how a mother is in her kitchen and she's got a frying pan in her hand and she drops it at the exact moment that her daughter across the country gets in a car accident. I can't explain. I don't know why. Coincidence? Some vibe going on with loved ones? I can't explain it. But see, as I preached a long time ago here, is that just because I can't explain something doesn't mean I can't understand what truth is. You see, people want to give you the idea that if you can't explain it, you have to believe the unexplainable. No, I don't have to believe the unexplainable. I believe what's explainable. I believe the Word of God. I believe in truth. And so don't ask me to believe in something that cannot be explained. All right? I have the Word. And so here are people claiming to do things that they don't even have authority for. And, of course, they're telling me that they can't control it. And God is not the author of confusion. And that's what the Scriptures are talking about there, that we need to be aware of. Okay. So I said it's not my job to explain why people do the things that they do that are not supported within the Word of God. Why can't I speak in tongues is a Bible question. And we gave the Bible answer. Here it is. Remember this statement. Yeah, thinking about this. All in those verses, speaking in tongues. Chuck, how do you explain tongue speaking today? And I tell people, what you have seen and what you have experienced never trumps the Word. You get that? What you see and experience never trumps the Word. I've often heard people, especially when I was in this denomination that I was a part of, they talked about somebody who had his arm restored in the deep jungles of Africa that nobody had ever seen. Somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. I mean, nobody ever witnessed it. And said, so how can you explain this? I said, I can't explain it. But I'll tell you what. I am not going to allow those experiences that I go through. And folks, you're going to go through them. I'm not saying you will. Let me take that back. But I've had brethren who I love dearly. And I don't believe they're lying to me. Who's lost a loved one, who said, Chuck, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard them call me. How do you explain that? I can't explain it. I'm not going to begin to explain it. But it doesn't trump the Word of God. Okay? It doesn't trump the Word of God. And people will come up with all that kind of stuff, but they're going to say, well, no. Forget what that says. I know what I felt. I know what I experienced. When that happens, folks, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And on the speaking in tongues, it falls into place. They're going to say, Chuck, I know what I experienced. I know what came over me. And I know it was the Holy Spirit. And I know I was speaking in tongues. And if that trumps the word of God, you know what? Then I'm not the one to talk to. Because I only teach the word of God. You don't want to follow the word of God, then you just follow. What you're doing is you're inventing your own religion. And that's not what we're interested in doing here. We're interested in what does the Bible have to say. So, back to my question. Who said you had to speak in tongues? Oh, my church. Well, forget that. Why would you do that when in the New Testament there are Christians who didn't? Go to 1 John. This is the key. There's a couple of key verses I want to consider within all of this. Why do we even consider this subject tonight? Here's one of the reasons why. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1. Beloved, what did he say? I want you to do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How are you going to test somebody? I did. You speak in tongues? Yep. You interpret? Okay, let's put it to the test. But you know, in all truthfulness, that really wasn't smart for me. Because all it did was allow three people to go through an experience because they think that the Lord was revealing it by interpretation, and the other one thought the Lord was actually making them speak in tongues, when in reality, Acts 8 would have sufficed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In other words, stay with this. Now, I did test it, and they failed the test, but it didn't change them, is my point. I'll just stay with this. And I'll test it by the standard that we have been given. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, that we quote a lot. It applies specifically to what we were talking about tonight. How come I can't speak in tongues? Well, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone that asks you for a reason, the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. Now, when somebody says, how come I can't speak in tongues, they better find out why they can't. That's a good question. You know why you can't speak in tongues? Time to answer the question. Because you can't. Why can't I? Because you can't. It's impossible for you to speak in tongues as what we have in New Testament times. It is impossible. They've ceased. We have no apostles. The purpose is gone. Okay? We understand that. And when people want you to convince you otherwise, they're actually persuading you, giving an answer, but not based upon the Word of God. And so the speaking in tongues subject, although to me, knowing that it is a language and it's not gibberish, this is what's going on in the minds of people today, failing to understand that it was from God and what God expected from them. And to help the non-believer, it went away. Now, I knew tonight's lesson wouldn't have been that long to preach. There's the evidence of it. And it wasn't meant to be. But I will spend just probably 2 minutes more helping us to understand the underlining lesson. There was actually two lessons being preached. The one lesson I preached is, what about tongue speaking? The second lesson, the underlining lesson through all of this, guys, that I've been preaching to you tonight, is that the Word of God is more important than anything else out there. We are going to encounter, you are going to encounter, argumentation based on experience. And you need to be ready to arm yourself against that. That's one of the biggest problems we have in the religious realm today. That's what we had in Matthew chapter 7. You guys don't have to turn there because we've read it many times. But in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, when you have people that feel something, I don't want you leaving here tonight. Okay, you know about tongue speaking, that's good. But I don't want you tonight leaving here feeling that you're right with God. I want you to leave here tonight knowing that you're right with God. There's a big difference between the two. People say, I know what I feel, Chuck. I know what you feel. And that's why there have been many times where I've told people, do you believe me? I'll go, I believe that you believe. You notice that? I believe that you believe you have the ability. I don't believe you have the ability, but I believe you do. And people have been convinced that what they have is right. Let's not think that can happen to us. Tongue speaking, boy, that's an obvious one to us, right? That's an obvious one. It's like, I wouldn't do that. That's fine. But what about other aspects of our lives? Justifying sin is just not something we ever want to do. We need to make sure that we are faithful followers of the Lord in all that we do. Not just tongue speaking. Hey, we don't believe in that. And as I told you a while back, I want you to reject it for the right reasons. Not like the new convert who told her friend, we don't believe in speaking in tongues because that's taught under the Old Testament. No, that's not why we don't believe in it. Okay? It's good that you don't believe in it, but don't believe in it for the right reasons, for the scripture reasons, so that you can teach that. Guys, just remember those fundamental passages. Tonight you can leave here just remembering three passages. Or I should say, remember four chapters. You just have to remember Acts chapter 8. You need to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. That'll suffice. So tonight, we're going to be standing and singing 369 and offer an invitation. If there's anybody here that is not right with the Lord, we're here to help. If you're not a Christian, you become one. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back. And there's a third one. What's the third one? You're faithful to the Lord. Everything is fine. But you have a burden you're carrying. And you need the prayers of the congregation. We're family, folks. We're here to help each other out. And if you're subject anyway, just let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the horn of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine. Jesus, the loving shepherd, gave his dear life for thee. Tenderly now he's calling, wanderer, come to me. Haste, for without is danger, come Christ the shepherd blessed. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine. Lingering is the folly, wolves are abroad today, seeking the sheep who're straying, seeking the lamb to slay. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Enter the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine.
I'd like to thank everyone for being here today, both times today. Are there any other announcements?
We have forgot to announce it last week and this morning and tonight. Southside meeting started today. It runs every night this week at 7 o'clock. Donnie Rader's doing the preaching. So over at Southside this week in Owensboro.
Remember that and go over them, support them, the opportunity we have this week to hear the gospel preached over there. No other Annapolis will now be led in our closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we are thankful for this opportunity that we've had to come together and worship you and learn more about your word. We are thankful that we had the opportunity this morning during Bible study to participate and learn more too. Help us as we're about to depart here today and go to our respective homes, and help us during the rest of our week, and forgive us for our sins and your sins, holy and righteous name, pray.
Amen.
Don't
hurt me,
we come tomorrow.